Blog Talk Radio.
Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun to all the God children, Mojuba Egun to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe-o.
Ashe-o. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman murder, July 2013, and we invite you to continue to support us and our sponsors, Manhood, Race, and Culture, headed up by my co-host on Wednesday nights, Dr. James Jones. You can find Dr. Jones on Facebook as well as on the World Wide Web at Manhood, Race, Culture, unitydesign.com. Also, please reach out to Arlene Gordon of Unity Design. Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. You can find Brother Arlene on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. And last but not least, we want to always remember to never forget our beloved brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines and the families and loved ones and friends that they represent. So please reach out to Unheard Voices, the Free Alabama Movement, and the Free Ohio Movement, respectively, on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com and freeohiomovement.org. So as a reminder, go to the Redistribute the Pain campaign page on WordPress, wordpress.com. You will find more information on how you can get involved. We really do need for those on the inside and the outside to be a part of what we're building here. This is not just a one-time event. This is nurturing the roots and the seeds that have been planted through the Free Alabama Movement, the National Freedom Movement, and the efforts that have come from those brothers and those who have supported them throughout the year. So this is all about uniting those on the inside and the outside. And if you have a loved one or family or friends that you've lost track of in the system, as long as you know what state they're in, we can help you find them. So reach out to me, Queen Tahira, at 513-913-2691, at Queen Tahira, New Power Radio Network, and sign it at Queen Tahira on Twitter and Queen underscore Tahira on Instagram, and we can help you get in touch with your loved ones. So tonight we have the honor of having a guest, Sister Amira Sankofa Kwali from Ask Life Coach Ministries, who is our newest family member to Sign of the Times. And I'm going to go ahead and open up this line because this might be her. Greetings. Who are we speaking with? Welcome to Sign of the Times.
Greetings. Hi, this is Dr. Amira Sankofa Kwali, and I say that with happiness.
Ashe. I'm glad to have you back on the air, sis. You always stay busy and involved and trying to help heal and love our people. So I so appreciate your energy and appreciate having you as our newest family member here on Sign of the Times.
Much love, and absolutely, and ditto and Ashe to you as well on that key.
Okay, so introduce yourself. Let the listeners know just a little bit, a taste of what you do in your day-to-day experience here on this realm.
Oh, my goodness. my name is Dr. Amira Sankofa Kwali. I'm better known as your revolutionary master healer. I'm trying to allow the words of doctor to flow from my breath because I just recently, was it yesterday or a couple of days ago? Something to that effect. I'm just waiting on a certificate to be mailed to me, or diploma, sorry, for getting my doctorate in metaphysics. This would be one of my first ones, and then I'll be. Thank you. And I would be getting more. There are more to come. It's just me getting off my tushy and completing two more papers, which I've been talking about that for about 3 years now. But I don't like writing papers, but I do have books. Anyway, so a portion of my day or day-to-day or kind of sort of what things that I do is chakra cleansing. I help people to realign their chakras to get rid of the gunk in them, which is also connected to your organs, right? And spiritually, mentally, metaphysically, and also, as I say, physically, more or less, and also astral-wise. Also, in building and working with womanisms and womanisms, energies and issues that we have going on with our physical fatalities as well as our mental and spiritual states, because we're in a deep aspect of the realm at this point in time. I mean, every century, of course, we are, but we definitely are right now. It's just so much going on with the world, with us losing our children to black-on-black crime, police brutalities, and just genocide, you know, of course, as I stated before, and just your general, you know, different pressures because there are new pressures with our children that are going on today. So I'm also a counselor, a life coach, and I help people to organize their lives, and I also help people to get off certain addictions, whether that be the coffee, sugars, changing their diets, and even drug issues, as well as alcohol, because too much of something is not always good, even if it's sometimes we have to balance things out in our life. So even if you're a workaholic, and even with me being a workaholic, sometimes I have to even take a breather and go, okay, well, I need to close my eyes, if not just for 3 hours a day or something like that, and then maybe one day a week. So, again, too much of something is not always that good, right? Because we go so strong in our communities and within our families. So, with that said, I also do psychic readings or tarot readings and just your spiritual readings and run-of-the-mill. But my spiritual, all of my readings provide, is not just about me telling you what I see in the future or call me now kind of thing, right? But I'm also helping you to see certain things that you could possibly dodge or possibly heal from. And I'm also keen on one of the most important things is on top of Reiki and energy healing and all of that. But I'm also very keen on teaching people on how to let go and building sound relationships within themselves, whether you be via female, whether you be via male, child, cat, dog, of all walks of life. And so in the nutshell, I provide a healing mechanism or preventative health care so you don't always have to run to the doctor every 5 minutes because you have a cold. I'm also an herbalist. I also help people to change their dietary, whether it be via herbs or whether it be via what you put into your system, such as, you know, fruit, vegetables, and even cutting the yucky meats out your diet. And some of us aren't ready. And, of course, understanding of that, but I definitely try to help people to rise above whatever areas they are in their life, because I believe that there's always room for improvement. Because even with me being a life coach, believe it or not, I actually have psychiatrists that come to me. I also have a couple of celebrities that I help to organize as well. I can't name them names because, you know, confidentiality and that kind of thing. But I do have psychiatrists that come to me that also need organizing and also need help for taking their lives to a different level. And I'm also a mother. I'm a mother. Well, they're grown children. They're grown, and I, you know, kind of guide them. I really don't run their life. I would like to. They probably have a better existence, but whatever. No, I don't. but they're grown, and I have two grandchildren that I look at from time to time because one of them looks just like me, and they kind of look like each other. And one of them thinks he's my daddy. I don't know what that's about, but whatever. The boy does.
That is.
And so, you know, I have a king, and I help to nurture him and help him through this challenge. And he helps me as well, and we have a co-partnership. Where it's equal, we display different roles. I have my role, and he has his role, and I worship the ground. He walks on, he worships the ground, I walk on, because I wouldn't have it any other way. I am a Taurus, and that's how we get down.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much in a nutshell, I mean, that's not everything that I do, but that's just basic. So anything dealing with the healing apparatus, anything energy-wise, anything metaphysical-wise, anything in terms of counseling, helping people get over lost loved ones who have transcended into the different realm, Agun, Ashe. And also in dealing with helping my father to heal and have a good existence since my mother passed away here June the 2nd of last year, 2017. May the creator and all the ancestors be pleased with her, and I know they are, because she was definitely an angel here on this earth and here on this realm. So where she is now, she will continue to be a angel and a firecracker and a hellraiser, because she's a Cancer, and you know how they are. But we are.
I say.
So pretty much in a nutshell, if I could sum it all up, that's the best that I can sum it all up. Because, you know, again, you know, when you're talking about yourself, it's kind of hard to brag on yourself unless you just, you know, unless you done had your bragging juice this morning. And I haven't had my bragging juice this morning. So that's
all right. That's all right. I mean, you can't do nothing with the truth but tell it. And, you know, the listeners, I'm sure, are very impressive, as they should be, because it takes a lot to be able to offer yourself on a personal and professional level to the community and still be able to maintain that balance. That's one of the key things that you repeated over and over again. And so when we look at the roles that we have to play as women, we often have to wear many hats, as you have identified, not because we necessarily have to wear them all at once, but at any time we have to be just that versatile. So I think that it does good for other sisters to hear that it can be done and that you are living in proof and example of that.
Well, thank you, sister. I really appreciate that. You know what I forgot to mention? And, you know, when you get done doing the interview, you know, even with you being the excellent interview that you are, you get off the phone, you'll be like, dang, I forgot to ask blase. Well, you know what? I forgot to tell you all that I do have a Reiki school of training and certification. It's not just, it has Reiki because that's something I really am very, very passionate about as far as training people. Because I have that feeling, that good feeling, that good laying hands on feeling on people, right? They can walk past me and get that Reiki feeling. But anyway, nevertheless, I do have other schools of thoughts that I do train people on, and I certified, and I am an accredited school, so I can, you know, they can utilize their stuff all around the country, their certifications, their certificate, or if it's a diploma, they can use it all around the country to employ themselves, and they don't have to worry about trying to work for someone if they can't get employed, or if they can get employed, but they still may want to, male or female, even a child, they may want to just work for themselves. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to mention that.
Okay. Well, that's a good point to talk about and bring home the importance of using exercises like Reiki, using processes like that. So talk about that. Why is that important, and how does that help one to achieve balance, whether they teach it or allow themselves to have that service?
Well, one of the things, when I first started, one of the things, especially like the first level, because in a nutshell, the first level is all about healing self. I didn't necessarily get into Reiki to necessarily heal others. My goal was ultimately to heal myself. I mean, seriously, even taking a life coaching master level, because I got, like I said, two more papers and I have my PhD in it. But I ultimately got into it so I could heal myself. I didn't get a lot of the stuff I didn't get into because I wanted to help others. I really wanted to start with myself because I wanted to do a revolution within myself. However, the first level being, you know, healing of self, the second level being of healing of the neck of others, the third level of Reiki being able to become an instructor and help others and teach them how to heal other people so you can spread the message all around the world. The fourth level being creation of your own type of Reiki, because even as a Reiki grandmaster such as myself, you will want to create your own Reiki. You would want to teach others and train others in different symbols to tap into and being able to tap into themselves to heal themselves. Because, again, a lot of us have the tools to heal ourselves, and we don't always have to take aspirin. We don't always have to take Tylenol and things like that. And we can certainly tap into our own birthright to, you know, bring all that beautiful energy out and taking out toxins out of our body without really necessarily taking medications and things like that. And that's not talking against anybody that take medications, because I seriously cannot, as a person that I am, to try to tell anybody to don't go to the physician or don't go to the hospital, because I can't legally say that, nor will I try to even tell anyone to do that. But it's very important that we still learn to heal ourselves, because a lot of times we don't have money, especially with healthcare being the way it is. We don't have financial means all the time to pay the copay, you know, because sometimes they don't even see you with a copay. You still have to have a copay. You might not even have that $25, $35, $50, or $100 to go in to see a physician for a typical headache. And you might have to go into the emergency room if it's something that you can't do on your own. And so it would make sense, because the majority of things that's causing us to get sick is stress. And dealing with past relationships and dealing with past pains and dealing with past trauma that we never really address, because especially in the Black community, we've always pushed things up under the rug and, you know, forget about it, get over it, shake it off. You know, my children used to bump their head and fall dramatically, and I'm like, shh. And I'm guilty of it as well. I'm like, shake that off, shake that off. It stopped them from crying. And, you know, we stop our children from crying because we wanted to make them tougher, because we felt, you know, our children had to be tougher than all the other races because of the things that we have gone through, and we wanted them to be the stronger ones because only the strong survives, you know, the slogan. And that's true. And so we would build our children mechanisms up to be able to handle everything, you know, from down to from slavery, from being kidnapped on down to just dealing with rape and sodomizing and all kind of crazy stuff, you know, that we had to go through as a people. So it would make a lot of sense for us to tap into our birthright, you know, not just because it's Reiki, the word of Reiki started within the Japanese culture, but we've been doing it way before then. We was doing it in Kemet, or whatever you want to call our motherland, our mother tongue, because, you know, a lot of us will argue about that theory, that thing, right? So we've been doing it. We've been laying hands on each other for the longest time, the real laying hands on, not just the minister coming up there healing you and you getting out the wheelchair and walking, not that kind of crap, right? Or, you know, even taking snakes and, you know, it's different kind of types of healing. We ain't going to get into all that. But the point is that we've been doing it since the beginning of time. So it would make sense of something that we will get back into doing, you know, back in Kemet and back in our, you know, ancestry times, we were taking and removing negativity forces out of us. We were removing ills and pains with just the energy, because energy is constant. Even if your physical apparatus, this body, this vessel that you carrying and clonking around with every day dies, that energy that's within you will still be remaining, you know, and walking and doing this thing all around, you know. So energy is constant. When you understand what the intentions of energy, and when you understand the intentions of positive mind, think about people when they, you know, are given a death sentence, when they're told that they're going to die. The first thing, they get depressed, they go through all these range of emotions, you know, denial and all these different things, right? But if they're constantly living in hell and constantly feeling like this is bullshit, I'm dying, excuse my French, and this is all, woe is me, I hate my life, then guess what? Everything possible is going to begin to start happening in their lives. But if they're positive and they're like, oh my God, yes, I'm given a death sentence, but however, I'm going to live life to the fullest. Notice how long they live. And then think about some of the other people, you know, like your honorary grandmother. Your aunt and grandmother has lived to probably be in her 100s, you know, because why? She is so strong that she is like, I am not going nowhere, and somebody's going to have to come out of heaven and take me, you know, as my grandmother, as many grandmothers before have said, someone from heaven will have to come down themselves and take me away, because I'm not going nowhere, because they're so stubborn and their energy is so staunch on living and wanting to have a good type of life. But it's not just all about, the thing about Reiki is it's not just, you know, for example, the what is it, the tale, I should say, the tale is that the guy came in, and it's going to give it a short version because we ain't got all time for me to break it all the way down, but I'm going to do it my best. So the guy will come down, and he will say, hey, hey, hey. He came down after being on the mountaintop, getting his energy, getting what it needed to get to provide to him. He went on down to the village, and he saw all the people walking around. This lady complaining of a toothache or a headache or something like that. I can't recall because I studied this so much. But she complained of some issues, and it was like in a tavern or something like that, and she was, you know, a waitress or something. And he was like, okay, so healed her of that. And then everybody around the village started coming around and saying, hey, I'm not feeling well. My leg hurt, my back hurt, whatever. And so he started healing all of them, right? And they were happy for like a little while. And then all of a sudden he came back and he looked. And they were back to the same situation. Why? Because they were still doing the same type of lifestyle that caused them to have the headaches and to have the leg and broken leg and neck, back, and all this other stuff. My neck and my back hurts, right? So they started having all these same type of issues. So what was the point of it? So it has to be not just something that we have to heal for just temporary, because sometimes even a doctor, they'll put a Band-Aid on and send you about your way instead of really getting to it, because they'll remove the cancer, they'll remove the thing out your body, but it's up to you to maintain that lifestyle so it doesn't keep coming back, okay? And so that's what the theory of Reiki is not only living the best life, but clearing your mind, being more positive. Not only are you using energy to heal yourself and heal others, but you're changing your lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. You know, you could be Christian, Catholic, Black, White, Korean, whatever the hell you want to be, and still practice this process, practice this energy, practice this healing principle, because it's very important. That, you know, it's not me as Amira who has the Reiki on lockdown, but it should be many of us that should just even practice it or learn about it or go to someone that practices it so we can, you know, get healing, because that's very important, because we want to live the best life that we can live in this, on this earth. I hope I answered your question.
I say, absolutely. Let's stay on the vein of energy, because we have energy that we have inside of us that we can influence and control, and there's also outside energy. And there's also the energy of mainstream media, society, and so on. And so in maintaining the balance in that, one, how important is it that we recognize energy shifts and energy changes? Because it can also be contagious, you know, a positive and negative energy can be contagious. So how do we make sure that we're recognizing it without necessarily becoming paranoid from it and appreciating it? Once there is, I guess, some breakthrough, if you will, on reclaiming that positive energy so that the healing can continue and or in some cases begin to take place.
Well, just really just paying attention, you know, opening your eyes and recognizing things, you know, doing certain experiments. Okay, for example, and I hate to get, this is going to sound very conspiracy theorist and paranoia, but it's not. Okay, if you notice that in the Black community and the poor, downtrodden aspect of our community, the lowest part of our community, low income, and I don't mean the lowest, like the people are low, because they're not low, but I mean the income base, right? If you notice, especially I used to notice when I would go over my cousin's house, right? It would be like probably about 9 o'clock, maybe 8 o'clock, or somewhere in there in the morning. It'd be like a government truck or something, and they'll go down the street, and there'll be like a lot of fumes coming from there. And right after, people would be angry. You would see more fist fights. You would just see some different changes, and you'll be like, dang, well, what happened to everybody? And all of a sudden, everybody's angry. Everybody's trying to fight. Everybody's negative. You know, so things like that, you know, things right there, how that kind of, and that's, I know that's a little different, but we're talking environmental. You know, that's some environmental poisoning that they were putting into the community, okay? And so you take that theory and you think about that, okay? So I'm going to slash. I'm going to go to another theory, right? I'm going to go to another thing that's just common. You take two glasses of water. Oh, no, I'm going to use a plant. You take two plants. You talk to one plant. You like, hey, plant, you're beautiful. You're wonderful. I love you. Let's grow. I'm going to water you, baby. I'm going to, you know what I mean? And then you take the other damn plant and you talk crazy, you curse it out, you kick it, you don't water it, you don't put no food in it, you don't do anything of it, and watch which one is going to grow. The one that you nourished, the one that you made love to. That one, I say, well, made love to, yes, made love to. You, that okay. plant is going to grow, you know. You're going. That's going to grow versus the dead, wasted plant that you done talked crazy to for hours and hours on end. And so, again, within our community, we have to understand what we're doing. And that goes with the human beings, with our children. So if every day you have this, you have two children, let's say they have two different fathers. So one child, you hate their daddy. The other child, you love their, you know what I'm saying? You see a lot of, you still with their father, or they did you better than the other child did you, right? And let's say you're not together. And if you constantly tell the father that you hate child, I hate you, your daddy sucks, your daddy ain't nothing, he ain't gonna never be nothing, you ain't gonna never be nothing, right? Versus the other child that you love on and et cetera. Now, one or two things can happen. Either the child is going to have self-hatred, hate the brother or sister, despise you, or despise the child that you showed favoritism toward, or that child is going to do their best to get the hell away from you and try to go outside and find somebody else that, you know, would love them and look for mother love and get the hell away from you and never come back to the community, right? Or they're going to forgive you, et cetera, right? So they're going to do, or the other child the same way, because they watch you abuse their sibling and they're going to reject you, clown you, never come back, or they're going to show favoritism and despise their brother, whatever, or sister. So, again, we have to be mindful of that. We have to be mindful about our environment. We have to understand energy. And we have to understand that whatever we put out, it comes back to us. And sometimes it comes back to us tenfold. Sometimes it comes back to us 10 times as worse. So if I'm constantly always hating or negative and this and this and that, then you're going to have a negative constant behavior pattern. No matter, you know, anything that goes wrong in our lives, I mean, of course, we're going to feel, you know, it's human. It's virtually human to go, oh, my God, why did this happen to me? Why me, God? You know, we question God. Why me? Why did this happen to me? What made me different than the next person? You know what I mean? But it's not about what you did right then and there. It's the way that you cope with them, your coping mechanism, and how you got over it and how you work to. You may not ever get over it, but you work through it to your best ability, and you still walked out the door with a smile on your face. You still love. You still looked at other people, and you did what you needed to do on this earth, right, to participate in creating good energy around you. And so, of course, mm-hmm. lo and behold, you're going to start gaining more positive and you, not woe is me people around you. You're going to gain more positive. You're going to start getting more money. You're going to start getting more change. And so, again, it just makes sense for us to, and as a whole, we are black people, or we are African, whatever we want to call ourselves, but we are melanated people. And at the end, we go off on vibrations. Our spirit and our energy is vibrational. And whether that's why we, when we hear music, when we hear drums, dum, 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 all of a sudden, you know, I don't care if you're a church, a holy roller, Bible, whatever your spiritual dialectic is, we'll just start kind of busting out, dancing a little bit, just a little bit. If we just moving our head, shaking our whole shoulders, shimmying or whatever, because we're vibrational people, and because we have our soul is based off vibrations. And when you have all these vibrations that's mixed in, it's an energy. That's all it is. That's vibrations. That's all energy. That's all connection. That's our, that's 7 chakras. We can't go nowhere. We can't do shit or nothing without our, excuse my French, without our 7 chakras. It's way more than that, but whatever. But just those main mm-hmm. ones that we deal with as holistic healers. And so when you have all of that, and you just have to try your best to start looking outside of yourself. And when you, and what you look on the outside of yourself, you can recognize, okay, this is some crap right here. I don't like my community being in turmoil. I don't like the police brutality. I don't like black-on-black crime. I don't like the drug use in our community. I don't like the Negro syncrasies bullshit that, you know, we perpetuate on each other, the stereotypes and things like that. I don't want to watch Love and Hip-Hop and reality TV because it's really negative, and all it's shown is the worst of our people, and everybody identifies that stereotype, et cetera, right? So although we're seeing all this, we still, at the end of the day, have to maintain a platform within ourselves, you know, cover and value our temples as sacred, meaning our bodies, our vessels, and our mind and our spirit, and just recognizing, okay, this is crap. I don't necessarily agree with that, but for me or for us, I'm happy. I'm overall happy, although I don't like the circumstances. It's just like a child doing something that you don't like. Your child getting put out of school, and you're, like, really highly upset. Do you hate that child? No, you don't hate that child. You just be like, look, I just don't like the fact that you got put out of school. We get ready to figure out some measurements so this to ensure that this don't happen again, and you're going to learn your lesson from this. And that's basically how we have to look at it. We have to look at it as is what it is. But at the same time, we try to maintain control of how we interact with each other and how we discipline. Because even to the point of, if I don't like somebody, I don't necessarily want to be around them. And because it's not just about my energy and my effects of them, because I don't want to feel like my energy in regards to that particular entity, I don't want that to interact with them, because if they already messed up, then it can mess them up even further. So energy is very important in how we deal with each other, how we relate to each other, and not even allowing ourselves to get so paranoid, because, again, we have enough going on in our community and in our families and different things that we're really not dealing with. And so we have to really take a step back and just not allow certain things to enter in our space. And that's not saying that not to deal with it, but, you know, sometimes we got to deal with it. Sometimes I have to deal with people I don't like, you know, just so I can get where I need to get to. But it's limited. It's limited access. I deal what I need to do. I get out. But, okay, thank you very much. Peace, you know, because think about all the other races that have to deal with certain things, but they come together, you know what I mean? But anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in a nutshell, that's
what it is. Well, and two, sis, not spending a lot of time on things that we don't have any control over is key. And that way we don't waste our energy. So in achieving that balance and not wanting to use any unnecessary energy, especially if it's not going to culminate to anything that's going to be positive, with so many things being upside down, you know, the perception of good being bad and bad being good, what suggestions, especially for some of our young people, do you have so that they don't spend a lot of time wasting energy that we know, you know, once it's just like time, once it's gone, we cannot recoup it back?
Mm-mm. My suggestion is just walking away, not dealing with it. But some things that can't help but deal with, because if they are standing, if they're right next door, I mean, because we have real situations. If we have a child that's really decent, that's, you know, straight A student and doing what they have to do, and they have a next door neighbor who is not so happy and probably sell drugs or whatever the case is, so it's almost best to just not deal with them or be on a level, hey, how you doing, and keeping it moving, you know, and not really being in that environment. And sometimes we have to get out of that environment. We have to do our best. Sometimes, back in the day, we would have that child sent. We would just leave and go. Sometimes, you know, it's better to just go and find somewhere else to go in a lot of different cases because, again, it's better to leave and find somewhere else to stay than to have that child subjected to that type of environment, because nowadays it's kind of hard to really get everybody on board. It's hard to get, you know, their particular parent on board where their child may be a bully, you know, because their parent probably is a bully to that child. That's probably why their child's like that to begin with, right? So my recommendation is really to get away and to be get away in a realistic way. And just really focus. If you focus on what you need to do in this life, then really you don't have time to be dealing with other folks and other people's problems. I remember I had one client not a client, but a friend of mine. She used to call me every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, okay? And she'll be like, we have a problem. I'm telling you, every day. And finally, this was before I became the person that I am today. And I'll be like, for the last time I talked to her, I was like, we have a problem. We don't have a problem. You have a problem, you know? And sometimes we have to do just that. We have to let people know, hey, you're the one with the problem. But sometimes things are a lesson. So sometimes things are thrown in your face, like to be a lesson for you to learn from that person. So whereas if you avoid certain things, you might not deal with that. You might not see the whole lesson behind it. So you being positive and being around that person could possibly, and this is like a small percentage, but this can also be a lesson and also can happen. But you telling this person, hey, you know, and they seeing what you're doing, and they may want to get out that lifestyle. They might want to do something differently. And that person may be a very good ally for you and protect you, because you may not be must a fighter. And they can be like, look, leave them alone. They're getting home. They're coming home, and leave them alone, and they're going about their way. So, again, sometimes we can't judge a book by its cover on a lot of scales. And sometimes a lot of things are lessons from us. And, you know, we should learn these lessons. And sometimes ultimately it's stop talking to this person, don't deal with them, don't talk to them no more. So it could work both ways. So I would advise people to understand. So the second thing would be to understand if there is a lesson in it. And if so, what is the lesson? Is the lesson to totally discontinue or learn how to really deal with people? Because, again, on the outside, once you leave, you know, your high school, once you leave grade school or junior high or whatever, but you're going to college. So you're going to be dealing with all types of walks of lives in some cases, or just on a job, your everyday job, or if you're an entrepreneur, you're going to be dealing with all types of walks of life. And so it's important that you understand on how to deal with different types of walks of life, because you don't want to always, we don't always have to be going off and cursing people out and things like that. And sometimes we may need to, you know what I mean? So in learning when it's necessary to deal with that, when it's necessary not to deal with it, when it's basically necessary for you to just ultimately walk away from something. And sometimes I've walked away from money. I've walked away from a particular celebrity because she was crazy as hell. And I don't mean crazy as hell by the terms of her mental stability, but I mean she wanted me to do, of course, some outlandish stuff. And I'm not going to demean who I am as a healer just to assist her. I'm not going to humiliate myself to make her feel good, okay? And so that's something, that's a lesson, you know what I mean? And the one day that I had to deal, that I dealt with her, that was my lesson that I learned, you know what I mean? So, again, life being short, we being only having access to one vessel at a time usually, right? Unless there's some unforeseen circumstances, it could certainly happen. And us not being cast, having nine lives, the theory of stereotype of having nine lives. So I would advise them to live life to the fullest, to live it the best way that they know how. And if it's something that's just really negative or they don't want to feed into it, then just walk away. It's almost best to, because nowadays it's so much going on in the world that you don't know who is your friend or who's not your friend. And sometimes your friend is really your enemy. Sometimes your foe is really your friend. So you never know in these cases. So sometimes you just have to be mindful and watch what you're dealing with and just watch how you treat people. That has a lot to do with it too. Because sometimes if you're really nice to a particular person, they might be crazy and upset and treat everybody else like garbage and maybe the hardest street banger or whatever on the street. If you're the one person that doesn't shy away from and decent to them, is nice and smile or whatever, then if somebody trying to do something to you, it'll be the main one to take up for it, you know? So, again, it's all about just learning how to really deal with people. So that would be my advice, all those things.
Ashe, Ashe. I want to remind the listeners, if you'd like to join in the conversation, please push 1 and I will open up your mic. So about the spiritual aspect of maintaining balance. Traditionally, you know, a lot of us are raised in the church, but when we look at 2018, the church is not as impactful as it once was in the community. Social media is the church, if you will, for a lot of people. So introducing them even to channeling energy, key, discovering their own spirituality, we have a lot to compete with. So what things do we, I guess, make sure that we're doing in our conversations and making them, I guess, receptive to exploring something new, like, you know, Reiki and exploring their own spiritual paths? And, you know, what would that conversation look like to you?
Well, part of the problem, I think, overall, like whether it be via energy healing, whether it be via Christianity, whether it be via Islam, whether it be via spirituality in general, or whether you just whatever, right, or energy healing or whatever. Bottom line is sometimes we sound crazy. You know what I mean? Like we can't even have regular conversations. And that's the reason why majority of people don't want to join different churches and mosques and in community buildings. And, you know, it's nothing wrong with being unique because we are unique people. And anything that we get into is clearly unique and it's going to have a thing to it. We're always going to create a thing to it because we're just unique people. So part of the thing, including our conversations, what I wouldn't sound really far out there and crazy to a lot of people. Sometimes we have to just talk regular. You know, that's just like, you know, during certain times, I don't always wear a chakra shirt. You know what I mean? I don't look like what they say a stereotype of healer would look like. You know, I don't just walk around with look like I'm walking on an aura. You know what I mean? You know something different about me, but I don't look like I'm walking around on an aura. I wear regular clothes sometimes. You know, I have a regular life. I do regular stuff. I go to the grocery store. You know, sometimes. I do regular stuff. I might go to somebody's party and hang out with their party. I might have like a glass of red wine. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, you know, the theory of what they said with Jesus. Jesus will go into the said character of Jesus, whether you believe it or not. But the theory was he would go into the taverns and he would, you know, he wouldn't necessarily be of the taverns, but he would just let people know that he could still come where they are, you know, and that's part of the thing. We come where some of our people are and kind of be amongst the regulars, you know, and kind of do, we might not do things exactly the way they do them, but we want to have where people feel comfortable. We want the whole point, the whole premise is, and definitely going into Reiki and the movement, all these different institutions, we want to be able to make people feel regular, make people feel and want to change, because sometimes when we beat people in the head, like, this is the only way. That's the thing the church, they'd be like, this is the only way, and all the rest of these spiritualities, this is the only way. If you don't follow this, if you don't follow this leader, if you don't follow this scripture and this book and this spiritual doctrination, then you're going to hell, or you ain't going to be nothing, or you're going to be broke. And that's what makes our youth be like, I don't want to go to church. Every time I go to church, they're always pushing me. They're always making me feel like I'm not nothing because I won't go to church. You know what I mean? We have to find creative ways of talking to our people and making them feel comfortable. You know what I mean? And like, for example, I have to break what I do when I talk about Reiki. I just tell people it's laying hands on people. That's all it is. Everybody recognizes that was in the church. You know what I'm saying when I say I'm laying hands on you. Then once you get into the art form, then I start explaining to you in the way of a way that going by some aspects of the book. But for the most part, I break it down to you upon it's just energy healing, just taking something within that's positive and putting it out to the universe. You're taking from the earth what's positive and putting it back into you and putting it out to the universe. And you just laying hands, you concentrating, you pulling all the energy on to concentrate on healing whatever area of your body and you laying hands on because you need them to heal, because you love and care about them. Really simple. You know, mm-hmm. have time to be trying to make them go into all this doctrination. If you don't do it, then this is going to happen. You can only walk a person to water. You know, you can walk them to the water and be like, here's the water. This is the healthy water right here. And either they're going to choose to drink it or not. But you can't get so passionate about it or so, you know, a certain way where you make them feel a certain way because they'll never listen to you. You can't browbeat them. You know, and we mm-hmm. have to start, you know, being realistic. Sometimes we're just not realistic. We'll walk around. Now, you know what I'm talking about, sis. We'll walk around. Mm-hmm. We'll be like, oh, how are you doing, brother, beloved? Yes, it's a queen day. It's blackpaculistic today. And my aura is feeling. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what the hell are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I hate when people talk to me like that. I'm like, man, how was your day? Yes or no? Was it good or was it bad? Shit. I mean, because after a while, nobody go talk to you. They're like, that chick is weird. Yo, mm-hmm. man, she is weird as hell. So, again, we have to talk to our people. You know what I mean? We have to keep it real. We got to talk to our people like they regular, and then we got to stop playing with their intelligence. Our people are way more intelligent, or people in general are way more intelligent than we come off. And some people, sometimes they be knowing more than you know. So that's another thing. We have to stop acting like we better. You know, I'm not better than you. I just know a little bit more. I'm just a master at what I do. But just because I'm a master at what I do does not mean that I can't learn something from you. Because every time I teach Reiki, or every time I learn something, I learn something from that student, because that student is like blah 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 blah. They'll have another rendition on how, you know, to explain it a different way. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't be like, oh, I'm the healer. I know what I'm doing. I'm, you know what I mean? I'm the grandmaster, doctor, and this and this and that. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting perspective and how you broke it down. Okay, cool. So, again, a teacher can learn from a student. A student can learn from a teacher. Because otherwise, what's the point? If you got to, you know, if you don't grow, you die. So I'm constantly evolving. I'm constantly growing. And I'm going to constantly learn. That's why I got all this stuff under me. I didn't even tell you how much stuff I've learned or how much stuff I got watched. Because, you know, it's too much to tell people, because I'm constantly learning, constantly evolving. And that's the whole point of this earth. And we can't just stay in one perspective. We have to go into this area. We have to go into the other area. We may have to go into the rich area. We may have to go into the poor area. We might have to go into the middle class. We have to go all around this world. If you're trying to do something great, if you're trying to heal people, if you're trying to resonate with different people, and you might be around people that suck. You might be around some good people that's really good, that feel good. And again, you may spend less of time with the sucky people and then go with the good people. So, again, we have mm-hmm. to have regular conversations. We got to talk regular stuff with regular stuff. Well, what's going on? Did you hear about that celebrity? I talk real. I'm like, yeah, I heard about this celebrity. I keep up with current events. I keep up with what's going on in the news. I'm like, oh, I don't watch the Idiot Box. Oh, that's just beneath me. No, I watch TV. I watch certain aspects of TV. Some things I don't watch all the time. Even if I watch about 5 minutes, I still don't watch, you know, just to see what's going on, you know. But mm-hmm. I can have regular conversations with anybody. I could talk gossip, celebrity gossip, non-celebrity gossip, news, current events, what's going on with the world, what's going on with this president, that president, or whatever it is that's going on. And that's what's wrong with us. Sometimes we just get on that high horse and we be like, oh, I'm so smart. I'm such an intelligent one. I'm better than you. And then we have what Dr. Collins said, we have our pinkies up in the air. No, I ain't like that, you know. I'm not Bujana.
I can see
like
him
that,
doing that,
know.
Too.
Right. Yeah, I'm not Bujana like that, you know what I'm saying? But I can go around the intellectuals and the college professors, and I know how to conduct myself. And I can go around mm-hmm. in the hood, like on the block. I could go to the block and talk to them about crystals. I done did it before. That's how I know I could do it, because I done did it before. I done went to the block and talked to them about crystals. It's like, well, we don't know about those kind of crystals. We got other crystals. I was like, I bet you do. But check this out. So it's all about I'm with the people. I don't know. That's just how you travel. So you talk to them regular.
Yeah, and actually people learn, you know, we learn from each other better that way when we just keep it real. You know, no airs, just keep it real. Hold tight, we've got a caller in queue. Greetings, welcome to Sign of the Times, Brother King Dot T. How are you doing this evening? Uh-oh.
Come on,
did we lose you? Maybe he pushed one by accident. 1-873, your mic is open. I say, all right, well, we're gonna come back to him in a minute. But we're almost to the top of the hour, and we'll take a quick break. You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. We're going to play your commercial, sis, so hang out with us. We will be
all right.
We'll be right back.
Okay, no problem.
Death is a multi-billion-dollar industry. The cemeteries are full of people who've passed from a preventative illness. With the correct approach, you not only extend your chances of preserving your life, but you will improve the quality of your life with a natural approach. The earth provides energy healing herbs for the benefit of mankind.
Hello, I'm Amira Sankofa Kwali here at Ask Life Coaching Ministry. We're located at 1921 West Broadway. We've been in the healing business for over 20 years. To order my products, go to www.ask314life.com. I'm available 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. No machine.
Amira Sankofa Kwali, you can reach her at area code 502-208-9142.
Hello. I'm Dr. James Thomas Jones III, and I've just recently completed a manuscript titled Creating Revolution as They Advance, a Historical Narrative of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This work traces the demise of the nonviolent civil disobedience of the Civil Rights Movement and the rise of both the Black Power era and Black Panther Party. Special attention is paid to Panther leaders such as Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, Fred Hampton, Eldridge Cleaver, Bunchy Carter, and Geronimo Pratt. This story is told through the view of the Panthers and details the horrific, underhanded attacks that the organization experienced at the hands of the FBI's counterintelligence program under the orders of J. Edgar Hoover. If you're looking for the true story of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, pick up a copy of Creating Revolution as They Advance, a historical narrative of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense on Amazon.com. Thank you.
Something for my godson Eliza and a little girl named Corinne. To say the black of the best, the sweet of the juice. I say the dark of the flesh and the deep of the roots. I give a holler to my sisters on welfare. Tupac can, if don't nobody else can. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. And when you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. So please don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive, but don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love you, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need him. And I ain't trying to catch up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? When brothers make mates and leave a young mother to be a
man. Welcome back to
and since we all came from a woman, y'all named from a woman, and I came from a
our fundraising effort on youcaring.com for the Free Ohio Movement and on GoFundMe for Sign of the Times. We ask that you please make a $10 commitment to keep Sign of the Times on the air and to expand what we are able to do on the ground, both with the Freedom Movement, the Africana Melanated Womanism events that we're having, as well as the Peace and Unity Summit that's coming up in Chicago, the 28th to the 29th of April. So anybody who is in the Chicago area, please reach out to me. You can find me on Facebook as Queen Tahira. You can give me a call at area code 513-913-2691. And you can reach out to me on Twitter and Instagram at Queen Tahira on Twitter and Queen_Tahira on Instagram. So welcome back, Sister Amira, or Dr. Amira.
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
I say. We talked about a lot as far as Reiki and the spiritual aspect. When you look at our society, and there are things, they seem to be really extreme, from the weather to the politics, to, you know, even looking at the educational system. Seems like things are more and more extreme to the point where we're becoming desensitized to the smaller things that, you know, often, you know, it takes sometimes a lot of small things to accumulate to really make an impact. So how can we make sure that we're paying attention to the small things in life so that we can, you know, continue to grow spiritually? And where are you seeing us as a society, not only politically, but spiritually? I'm very hopeful of where we are as a society. I see the potential for a lot of things to continue to grow and to prosper, especially the more communal conversations we can have and more common ground that we can plant our feet on. So I'm very hopeful for the future, but I don't want to be so idealistic that I'm not being a realist of what we're actually facing. So what do you see as far as our society, and how can we make sure that we don't miss the small things in that process? And I yield.
Well, number one, taking time to breathe. And I remember when I was going to school eons ago, I'm 44, but back in the day when DOS was still, you know, in operation, right? it was a program, you know, they call it, you know, keep it simple, stupid, right? So we have to really just start keeping things simple, you know what I mean, and going back to the roots of things. Like, sometimes we have to go back to the beginning, you know, just doing your everyday thing, just like going back to the beginning. Now, you know, appreciating just the small things, because the more and more we begin to start appreciating the smaller things, we'll start getting the larger things. And that's why I tell my clients all the time, we have to just start really looking at things on a small level, appreciating the fact that, you know, for example, if you're in the hospital for a whole week, which my father is right now, right? So he's been in the hospital for a whole week now. He's just so happy. He'll be so happy when he get out that he can just breathe outside the air. Although it's raining, although it's kind of a little not so happy looking good out here in St. Louis, but if he's able to take that breath that he can breathe outside rather than breathing into that little tube that they keep on trying to get him to breathe into, it makes sense to be able to just appreciate the smaller things and just looking at things as a smaller as a whole. The fact that you can pay your bill today, the fact that you know you got a place to stay and you ain't got put out, the fact that you got a roof over your head, the fact that you were able to go and get your nails done today, the fact that you're able to your children got, you know, some new shoes today and you were responsible for ensuring that they were able to do that. The fact that you can take your children to the movies, even if you don't have a car, you can get on the bus and take them to the movies, or you can get what they call them, the lift thing, some calves, and you know what I'm talking about. You can get on those, you know what I mean? The fact that you can do little mm-hmm. things like that, that's still good, you know, because maybe you're getting ready to get by a car soon. So you got to appreciate the smaller things before you can get to the little things. Now, in terms of desensitizing, and, you know, that's something that really helped that, because that's something that, I mean, it is almost desensitizing. You know, if you're seeing corruption all the time, if you're seeing your children, if you're seeing people on the news getting beat, and just all these different crimes that are being committed in the schools, and they're going up in schools and blowing away the school and blowing away the churches and different things like that. So, of course, it's going to make you kind of look at things, you know, in a desensitizing way, but you got to remember something. This is not normal. You have to remind yourself, like, this is not a normal act. Like, this, I don't care if it has happened 200 times. So to say what I just said, to say this is what I'm saying. I don't care how many times it happened, you still got to look at your child. You still got to look at your grandbaby. You still got to look at your mate. You still got to look at your neighbor. You still got to look at all these different people or different influence of young people, of youth, and even the elders and even the middle class people, everybody around the world. We still got to look at each other, even via social media, and say, this shit ain't normal. Let me repeat. Let's mm-hmm. say it again. This shit ain't normal. You know what I mean? We have to keep reminding each other, like, this ain't normal. This is not a mm-hmm. everyday whim that, you know, occurs and continues to happen. What was the next question?
just making sure that we can take the time to appreciate the small things, because we are bombarded with so much outside white noise, if you will, and interference.
Breathing, just outright breathing and loving and finding things that we love to do that are positive. You know, even the so-called worst of the worst in the world has a small thing that they really like doing. You know, even the biggest gangster in the whole entire world, you know, probably goes out and has a plant garden and goes and looks at the plant garden. They grow veggies or something like that. You know what I mean? We always have to find a habit that, I don't want to say habit, a hobby. I should say a habit. That don't sound right. A hobby that we can do with each other or by ourselves, that's something that makes us happy. Like I used to, when I lived in St. Louis, I don't live here anymore. It changed completely. But at the same time, there's at least one thing that I used to do with my children. I would always wake my children up like on a non-school day. And when I didn't have all that much money, I was broke as a joke. And I would just be like, and I would have a whole bunch of quarters. You know, I would save quarters all that week because, you know, that stuff adds up. And I'd be like, okay, we're going to go to this coffee shop that was open 24 hours a day. And they had, like, little games. And I loved to drink coffee back then. And I would just take them and we would spend hours and hours and hours on end playing pool and playing in the coffee. You know what I mean? Playing, and I would drink coffee and they would have cappuccino or something like that and the nacho cheese. And we would just do little things like that. And we'll be getting back home at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? And so just little things like that, if we start doing little things like that with our children, I'm telling you, my children still remember that to this day. And every now and then I'll go pick up my grandson when I don't have to babysit his little butt. But I would go pick him up and take him, you know, just take him to the store, just take him anywhere, just take him for a drive. I'd be like, you want to go for a drive with me? Just to get him out the house, because he'd be bouncing off the walls. He's one of them kind of children. And just take him for a ride. And that's the things that we have to start doing, is spending the special time with our children, regardless to how much money we have or what we are, or if we're so busy. We don't never want to get so busy where we can't spend some time with our families. You know, even if you have to take a nap, or even if you just laying there in the bed with your mate, we have to start taking time out to spend some special quality time with ourselves. And even meditation, taking time out to meditate, even if you got to meditate for 5 minutes a day, hell, that's a lot. 5 minutes a day is a lot of time. And the fact that you took time to really do that, we just have to appreciate things, because, shoot, life ain't promised to us. And I have not accomplished everything I want to accomplish, so I'm not really ready for the not that I fear death, because I don't, but I'm just not ready for it because I got so much to do. And so we have to remember that.
Ashe. So, sis, when you speak about your relationship, relationship with your king, relationship with your children and the babies in the community, and our relationships with each other as sisters, again, you know, I've never felt so hopeful on all of those levels as I do now. So, how do you foresee us being able to, I guess, continue to nurture those relationships? And I'm not talking when I speak brother to sister. You know, we have a tendency to think instantly romantically, but I got genuine love for a lot of the men who are in my life, and they are just that. They're brothers, you know, they're kings, and I treat them so. So plus I'm the only girl raised under three boys, and my dad was in the house. So, you know, I think I have a natural tendency to have better relationships with brothers, but that's something that I know that we need to work on as a community, that it's okay for us to love one another in a mutual, respectful environment that doesn't necessarily always equate a sexual relationship to it. So how can we build more healthier relationships amongst each other, you know, sister to sister, brother to brother, and so on?
Okay, I thought about the question that you asked. I didn't answer that earlier. Okay, so I do have some hope. I do have a small glimpse of hope that we can actually make it into the year after, and we can actually make some changes. I have small hope, but small hope is better than having no hope at all. Okay, so the answer to your question now that you just asked would be just really working together in honesty. I'm just looking at each other in the eyes and just showing that you care, because majority of our youth, whether it be our youth and whether it be our men, romantic men or romantic women, or just your non-sexual, where we just have a bit of a connection because I like you, you like me, I think you're cool, and I want to see you prosper, and I want to see you do something different with your life. The mere fact that we, you know, just a hello, a friendly hello is definitely, hey, how you doing? You doing all right today? You know how you walk outside your house and you see your neighbor, you be like, hey. That's building a relationship. That's building something because you make it something. Since I give you an example, I've been here at my father's house, and I had he was like, make sure you take out the trash. I'm not really a trash taker. You know, that's not really me. Not because I think I'm too good. It's just because men do it, you know, because men do take out the trash. I really don't like taking out the trash. It gets on my nerves. And my man is like, don't pick up that trash. Are you crazy? So, anyway, and my father was like that, too, when I was growing up. So, anyway, he's like, you got to take out the trash. So, I was really annoyed by that, right? And I went ahead and took it out, like, 5 o'clock that morning, right? And then I didn't know what time that they come or nothing like that because I hadn't been here in a while to be doing all that. You know, you come visit your parent, you say, hey, 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 got to go, you know, kind of thing. So, anyway, long story short, when I woke up, and I came and I left out to go do what I need to do. And I came back. The trash can was by the gate. What does that say? You know I didn't take it there, right? And it was empty. What that meant was a next door neighbor basically took it, you know, seen what it was and seen to go ahead and take the trash out. You feel what I'm saying? Why did he do that? Not because I got a cute smile or not well, I am cute, but not just because of that, because of my father, because my father had a rapport with him. You know, because my father built a relationship with him because of the fact that he sits outside his door and be like, boy, somebody just came over here and knocked on your door. Boy, somebody came out and busted out your car window. Now, I don't know who it is, but you might want to get that taken care of. You know what I mean? So when you're a pillar in the community, people will just do little things for you. Be surprised, and that little things really are large things, right? So just basically talking to each other, honesty, just your typical hello, you caring. Hey, I got some extra. I got an extra can of milk, or not can, but I got an extra milk carton, and you just give it to them. You know, well, I couldn't drink all this by myself. Here, go ahead and take it. Just doing something generally nice, like from the heart, and people can recognize bullshit, and people can recognize real, like you being honest. You gave them the milk. You feeling good and just doing things for each other, and your hello, that's that. You know, you never know what somebody was doing. Somebody might have been having a bad day, and the fact that you said hello to them just made their day because you was all cute, and your smile was gorgeous, man and that female, because I love a good smile. I mean, I got a great king. I love him to death, but you know what? I like it when a brother smells really good. You know, when he just walks past me and he smells really good, I can smell that Egyptian musk oil or whatever the hell he's rocking that day. And he's smelling good. And, you know, the mere fact that, you know, the little small things make you smile, or I'm smelling good. And I walk past the sister and the sister's like, wow, what kind of oil do you have on? And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I sell it or whatever. But the point is that, you know, the way that we build with each other, the way we talk to each other, the way we smile at each other, because, you know, think about how society is. You know, you see somebody, they be all, when you walk into a building and it be like a whole bunch of people and you stand in the line, they be all frowned up. Like, ooh, they got the bitch face, the sink face. They be all frowned up and looking at you, you know what I'm saying? But if you smile, instead of walking in stank face yourself and you walk in and smile, think about them. Some of those little stank faces are go to smile, you know what I mean? So, again, it's just all about us speaking to each other. We seeing each other out at the seeing each other at the grocery store and just going, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing all right. You know, how you doing? I'm all right. I'm still making it today. All right, that's all I need, you know, and that made that person stay. So that's things like that, and just being honest. And sometimes we should help people. Sometimes it's okay to reach out and lend a helping hand. We may see that homeless person, you know. Now be street smart. Now that's where anywhere you go. I don't care if it's homeless, rich, whatever. But you know, taking out, you know, going into McDonald's, a homeless person be like, I ain't got no money. I want to go get something to eat. Shit, hell, I done went into a store and came back out like, here, take this, and went on about my way. Now, what they did with it was on them. But you understand what I mean? It's just things like that, doing little nice things like that. Well, nothing but a dollar, but, you know, I'm sure that the person see me again, it's like, thanks for the sandwich. You know what I'm saying? They didn't ask me for nothing else. They was just like, thanks for the sandwich. Can I wash your car? for what you did the last time. You know what I mean? So it's things like that. Mm-hmm. We have to pass out cover to our people, you know, when they're in need, giving them clothes. You know you ain't wear, you can't wear all them damn clothes. You know, the Egyptians, the people, our people from Kemet try to take them clothes. Try to take all that stuff with them. They could take all that gold and jewelry with them. You know what I mean? They tried to take it, though, didn't they? But, you know, just stuff like that. So some things, we can't take everything with us. You know, you can't wear, you know, this size is five times. You know, your big butt and grew, your tank butt and grew is maximum and grew. But you know you need to give that away, that little shirt away. You know you can't wear that shirt no more, your belly hanging out. Now, you can give that away to somebody now. We're going to complain.
You already know.
You know, you got to give up on that.
It's going to come back in style.
Yeah, you got to give up that shirt. Just give it to somebody else. You can always buy you another one. You'll lose weight again. You'll lose weight, hopefully. Hopefully,
right,
you know.
Right, right. Start juicing.
So, just things like that. That's all I'm trying to say in a nutshell.
Ashay. So, before I let you go, sis, remind the listeners how they can get in contact with you. And let's talk about eye contact, because I think that makes a lot of difference when
you
deal with one another and how we receive one another and perceive one another. So remind the listeners how we can find you. And then let's talk about the importance of being genuine and what we look for, you know, why that is important to make eye contact with our brothers and sisters. And I yield.
Okay, well, people can reach me. They can find one of my Facebook pages, Amira. You spell that A-M-I-R-A-H, Kweli, K-W-E-L-I. I almost forgot to spell my own damn name. Or Amira Sankofa, Kweli, Sankofa, S-A-N-K-O-F-A. You can find me on that. Or you can go to 502, my telephone number, 502-208-9142, 502-208-9142, on my beautiful, beautiful website. You can also contact me on there. You can, you know, try to register for an appointment. www.ask, my initials, right? ASK314life, LIFE.com. Or you can reach me on my email at my initials, ASK314life@gmail.com. And, of course, it's definitely important. When you say hello to somebody, you're going to look down at the ground. Like, you know what I'm saying? It just says you. And you know what? Let me tell you something else. When you, just on the street terms, let's talk street, right? Because I got to be balanced in the conversation. So when you're on the street and when you know what I'm saying? I've been in the community. I'm telling you, I've been in all kind of walks of life, right? And if somebody is about to rob you on occasion, if you look them right in their eyes, they'll think twice. Rather than you looking all down at the ground, because you showing like fear. That's like a fear thing. When you go for an interview, you look the interview right in your eyes. You shake their hand firmly, like, "Hey, this is me." You know what I mean? You shake people's hand in a firm way. You hug people in a firm way. You don't give nobody no willy nilly hug. You hug them from the gut, because we're gut people. And looking in person in the eye, I mean, you looking down at the ground and shit. Nobody's gonna take you seriously. It's not just a thing of, it's a street code. You know, we look people in the eyes. We be like, "Hey, what's up? How you doing?" And they be like, "Oh, I'm all right." And it stopped them on the tracks. Like, I was going to rob you. But if you go, "Hey, what's up? How you doing?" You know, and on a flower terms, and as a tree hugger, because I'm half tree hugger, half street. So on the tree hugging terms. You definitely want to embrace their spirit. You let another person's soul know. Just like when I'm clearing chakras, I'm not only speaking to that person, but I'm directing that person's chakras. I command their chakras to do whatever the hell I tell them to do. Like cleanse, clear, remove the blockages from your heart, your soul. Come on out now. You know what I mean? And so when you're speaking to other people, you're looking them directly in their eyes. You're like, "Hey, what's up?" You're speaking to their soul. You ain't just speaking to this physical entity, but you're speaking to the soul of a man. You remember that? Remember that little song and a little rap? But it was like, you speak to the soul of a man, and not just man, one man with man in the middle. You know, with man at the end of it, not the middle. I sound ill-informed, but man at the end, and you speaking to the soul of them by saying, "Hello, how you doing?" "I'm doing fine." And your eye contact, you person, your eyes, especially if your eyes is like bomb, and you like, "Woo, look at them eyes, girl. But look at them eyes, and that's sometimes that's how you that's how Sean Quali got me. I was like, woo, hey.
you already know.
You know, when you look at somebody's eyes, you know, you can tell a lot about a person's eyes. You can tell not just energy healer or energy reader, but you can tell a lot about a person's eyes. You can tell if they done lived a long life. You can tell if they happy. You can tell if they, you know, need your help, if they going through some stuff. You know what I mean? Eyes can't lie. Eyes are windows to your soul.
Ashe.
So, yeah.
Ashe. Well, sis, you know, your space on the couch is always ready for you, available whenever you get ready to come back. I know that we talked about coming there to speak on Africana Melanated Womanism. I'm looking forward to still being able to do just know, you know,
yes,
that
ma'am.
How much you are appreciated. You know, we need more positive energy. We need that to be spread throughout. And you know, I do. I tag your stuff every now and then.
Well, I'm honored, sister, and likewise. Every time we talk, I know you'd be like, "Dang, this sister can talk, boy." I can't help it because I'm passionate.
That's all right. That's all right.
Well, you need a regular show. You don't want nobody to get on there and be like, "You ask them." I've had guests where you ask them one question and they'd be like, "Yeah." You're like, "Damn, you don't finish the statement. You gotta pull it out of them like pulling teeth." So I like people that talk where I damn near ain't gotta ask them nothing. But anyway,
right.
So anyway, again, I appreciate your energy. I love you. I love coming on here. This is wonderful. This is great. I hope more people get involved in what the things that you're doing. And please let them know. You know, I think you downplay yourself a lot. Let me give you a real reading real quick.
Ashe, come on.
You downplay yourself too much, and you're very creative, and you have a lot of goodness in you that the world does not know about. So you're going to have to really start laying that to people. You giving everybody else a damn platform to talk their shit. You're going to have to give yourself a platform to talk what you know and what you need. You downplay who you are because you're an incredible organizer. So you're going to have to really start bringing that more true to light, and you're going to have to start sharing to the world on who you are. People don't really know who you are, and it's like a lot of fear. Don't be mad at me, but it's a lot of fear of letting people know who you are because a lot of things that you have gone through. And so right now you're going to have to, like, tell the spirit, shut the fuck up, because, excuse my French, but I got to keep it real, but tell it to shut the hell up because you have to shine on who you are, and that has to come out to the world because we need more warriors in this thing that's going on in the world today. We don't have enough because a lot of us are falling short. We're scared, we're fearful, and you have it. So when you have it, you gotta show it. What you afraid of? Let it go. Let it go. Let go of it. Let it out. Let people know who you are, and it's not bragging. You're like, "Hey, this is what I do. I know what I'm doing." You need to let them know, okay?
I appreciate you, sis,
okay.
And I hear you.
You're welcome.
I hear you.
We'll see
right.
in a week. All right, y'all. Well, thank you so much for having me on, sister. You have a blessed day, and thanks so much, listeners,
thank
for
you.
Taking time out to listen to my little crazy self. But y'all
Ashe.
Have a beautiful day. Namaste, and
thank you.
Ashe. You're welcome. Well, no, thank you.
Tomorrow night. At 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Sign of the Times. This is Queenie Tahira. We appreciate you. Most of all, we respect you. You know, and there's some conditional love.
Y'all want unconditional love. No doubt. Talking about the stuff that don't wear off, it don't fade. Not it lasts for all these crazy days, these crazy nights. Whether you wrong or you right, I'm going to still love you. Still feel it. I'm going to stand for you. No matter what. My truest thoughts, my truest feelings, all my peers doing years beyond drug dealing. How many caskets can we witness before we see it's hard to live this life without God? So we must ask forgiveness. Ask mama why I got the courage to die. Witness the tears falling free from my eyes before she could reply. But we were born without a silver spoon. My broken down TV show cartoons in my living room. One day I hope to make it a player in this game. Mama, don't cry, long as we try, maybe things change. Perhaps it's just a fantasy, a life where we don't need no welfare wish with our own family. Maybe it's me that caused it, the fighting and the hurting in my room crying, cause I didn't want to be a burden. Watch mama open up her arms to hug me, and I ain't worried about a damn thing. With unconditional love, big game, vision in the eyes to see. No things change, the future's still inside of me. We must remember that tomorrow comes after the dark, so you will always be in my heart. With unconditional love, the lessons in your eyes to see. No things change, the future's still inside of me. We must remember that tomorrow comes after the dark, so you will always be in my heart. With unconditional love, just got the message you've been calling all week. Been out here hustling on these streets, ain't had a chance to speak. But you know, with you and me, it's all G. We could never be enemies, cause you've been such a good friend to me. Where would I be without my dogs? No wonder why when times get hard, cause it ain't easy being who we are. Driven by my ambitions, desire higher positions, so I proceed to make tea eternally. And my mission is to be more than just a rap musician, the elevation of today's generation. If I can make them listen, prison ain't what we need. No longer stuck in greed, time to plan, strategize. My family got it, me. We will make something out of nothing. No pleasure in the suffering, neighborhood will be good if they can cut out all the busting, the liquor and the weed, the cussing. Send the love out to my block, the struggle never stops. Unconditional in the eyes to see. No things change, the future's still inside of me. We must remember that tomorrow comes after the dark, so you will always be in my heart. With unconditional love, the lessons in your eyes to see. No things change, the future's still inside of me. We must remember that tomorrow comes after the dark, so you will always be in my heart. With unconditional love, I probably never understand your ways. With every day, I swear I hear you trying to change your ways while getting paid at the same time. Just had a baby with the same eyes, something inside. Please let me die, these are strange times. How come I never made it? Maybe it's the way I played it in my heart. I know one day I gotta be a star. My hopes and all my wishes, so many vivid pictures, and all the currency.